Thy will be done on earth so I'm gonna give you a couple light jokes. And I don't mean like not heavy, I mean light jokes. So here's one. How many Apple vice presidents does it take to change a light bulb? Okay, Apple vice presidents. Well, that's proprietary information. You have to pay in order to find that out. Okay? All right, so how many gym rats does it take to change a light bulb? It takes six. One to change the light bulb, and five to stand around and say, oh man, you got such awesome muscles. You're so cut. Aren't you great looking? Takes five to do that. So how many mystery writers does it take to change a light bulb? It takes two. One to screw it most of the way into the socket, and the other to give it a surprise twist at the end. So we're talking about light today. We're on our Advent journey, and we're waiting for Jesus' arrival deep into our heart and into the aspects of our lives. We learn that God is sovereign. It's not a surprise. That's what Advent's all about. That God's in control of what we're doing and what's going on in our lives. And on that first Sunday of Advent, we listened for the confirmation that God is present. We listened for bells. The bells that rang on Christmas Day, ringing forth, announcing that God is here. That God's there in the middle of whatever you may be facing. That God will get us through. On the second Sunday of Advent, we also ask that you listen again. And we ask, will you hear? Do you hear the voice of one crying in the wilderness, calling to you? Calling for a different way of living. So get rid of those destructive ways. Get rid of those destructive friends. And to seek with all of our heart the kingdom of heaven. In order to improve ourselves, we do so through scripture. That's how we listen. We do so through worship. That's how we listen to God. Through music, that's how God moves us. And through Jesus, that's how God changes us. So we move from hearing these last 2 weeks to now seeing. Use a different sense. I love Christmas carols. Oh my goodness, whenever Thanksgiving comes and that one radio station pops on all those carols, I'm in. Fully in. And so this year, the carols seem to have touched me greater. Huh. Maybe because of this time we're in, the pandemic we're facing. I also love Christmas movies because in the middle of tragedy, there's always a good ending. And of course, I love snow. Got another snow tie on. One of the songs I enjoy since I was growing up was Silver Bells. All right, Jeff, can you turn on to the next slide? That slide tells us a little bit about what we're looking at. Silver Bells, it's about hearing, but verse 2 is about seeing. And you know, it's interesting, kind of like this, because it always touched me. Because when you think of silver bells, you think ding, ding, ding. But then it's like, what do you see this time of year? Here's verse 2. Strings of street lights, even stop lights, blink a bright red and green as the shoppers rush home with their treasures. Hear the snow crunch, see the kids bunch. This is Santa's big scene. Now, in this song and in the Advent season, God has asked us to use our senses to hear, to listen to his movement, and then to see how he's moving among us. In our scripture today, we go from hearing, Isaiah 40, to seeing, Isaiah 60. Isaiah 40 said, listen to the voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare your way for the coming of the Lord. And in Isaiah 60, what will this way look like? It's a light that will shine in the darkness. Now, it's interesting in this scripture. Jeff, can you go back to the scripture, Sina? There you go. In verse 60, verse 2, Isaiah 60, verse 2, it talks about darkness in two ways. So I want y'all to see how it speaks about it. It says that darkness will be over the earth, that's the first one, and then deep darkness over the people. All right, so y'all see that. All right, Jeff, we'll go back to the sermon screen, which is the one with the heart. There you go. Now, I think this is interesting Because darkness is spoken about two ways. There's that darkness in which you know it's here, but you can still see. It's like when you're driving at night and it's really dark out, but you have your headlights. So you can kind of see what's going on. Every now and then you'll see those like eyes of an animal, who might be a deer, standing alongside a rabbit, but you can still see it. And this is where Isaiah says darkness has descended on the earth. But notice in the second half of verse 2, that when darkness descends on the earth, what happens to the people? The people go into deep darkness, where there's no light. And when you have no light, it's disorienting. You don't know if you should go left or right because you don't know what is on your left or right. You don't know which way you should turn because you have no sight. The darkness that descended on the earth then affects us, people on the earth. Now, interesting in Scripture, when darkness is mentioned, we're not just talking about the absence of light. We're talking about the absence of God. See, darkness in Scripture is a metaphor. It allows us to see, literally, where God is not, and to see where God is. And so when darkness descends on the world, then it affects us, humans, at a deep level. Deep darkness descends. And in deep darkness, that's where we find pain, emotional pain, that's associated with fear or worry or anguish. The pain is there because hope has been removed when that darkness descends. And it looks like darkness is more powerful. And with the thought that darkness is more powerful than light, the end result is we go into a deeper place than what the darkness is around us. Because the darkness doesn't allow us to see. We can't see what's really in front of us. Now the scripture that I read, into this darkness, a light has come. Now, into our personal darkness as well. And that's why the scripture is given to us. The light of Christ has come. There's a song that we have sung here, and it's Light of the World. It goes, light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes to let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of the life spent with you. The darkness tries to convince us that there's no hope. But remember what God does. God sends a light so that we can know hope. So what are some of the qualities of light of which we can ground ourselves in hope? First and foremost, light reveals. Light shows us what's really in front of us. You know, the other night there was a noise outside, and both Annette and I sprang out of our bed. It wasn't Christmas Eve, so Santa wasn't on the roof, okay? That's another one of our songs. So we went down, and we looked out into the darkness. There's a light up there. Something going on outside. What do we do to dispel the darkness? Any guesses? We turned on our outside light. All of them. Just to be able to say, okay, if you're out there, we know. In order to see into the darkness, we turned on the light. As we deal with the events of today, remember, there's a reason why Christ came centuries ago, and why Christ comes now and now again, is to shine the light into our heart. And one of the ways in which we shine the light into our heart, to be able to dispel that darkness, that noise that sits out there around us, is we've got to pray. If there's ever a time the people of God needed to pray, it's now. Now remember what praying does. It alerts God to the events around us. God recognizes that. But it alerts us that God's acting. When we pray, you don't just have a fuzzy connection to God. It's a direct pipeline to God. And when we pray, we literally are pulling that light down into us so that whatever is going on around us can be dispelled and pushed out Because the light of Christ is sitting in our heart. We need to pray. What difference does this make? John, in his prologue, that's what John chapter 1 of the Gospel is all about. It tells us in grand thoughts the nativity story. In verse 5, John wrote, "The light shines in the darkness. The darkness cannot overcome it." And the reason why we pray is to be able to get the idea that Jesus has arrived in some great form, but Jesus, more importantly, has arrived in our heart. And the end result of Jesus arriving in our heart is that we can know that the darkness has been overcome. Now that word that we translate overcome is kind of a really strange word. We can also translate it, the darkness cannot seize the light. The darkness cannot overpower the light. The darkness cannot control the light. So you get the idea, what's more powerful? The darkness, which leads us to believe it's more powerful, or the light that shines? Well, we know what the answer is. Because darkness cannot stand up to light. It's us who allow the darkness. That's why we need to pray to push out the darkness with the light of Jesus Christ. In the scripture, it's clear. Physical light and physical darkness are to demonstrate eternally what's happening. Because physical darkness cannot stand up to physical light, the same is true of spiritual darkness. It cannot stand up to spiritual light. That's why Isaiah mentioned in chapter 9, that people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. In the middle of darkness, guess what's more powerful? The light of God. Does it not feel like, right now, we're in a dark land? Does it not feel like, right now, we're in deep darkness? That's why the light was given. I hope you realize that. I hope you realize that that's the promise for times like this. That days like these will not continue, but days like these were meant for the light of Jesus Christ. So that we can be the ones to shine. Yes, it's hard emotionally right now, but that's where the hope of Scripture comes into play. Yes, there are times in which we feel the whole weight of the world upon us, but that's what the light was given to us. So in this darkness, God's glory can shine because we're bringing the light of Jesus Christ into who we are, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Isaiah 60 is a call for hope. It's a call that in the midst of days like this, days of distress, know that Christ is still present. Then days of worry, Christ is still here. But in the midst of all of this, God's glory will still shine. Remember the streetlights, even stoplights. They're blinking hope back onto us. That the hope of now is that Christ has destroyed that darkness that's trying to come in. Isaiah 60 is also a call to action. It's not only announcing hope is present, but it's a call to action. Jeff, can you turn back to the scripture? Thanks for my techno wizard here. There he is. The first verse of Isaiah 60, arise, shine, your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Pay attention to the pronouns. Arise, shine, your light has come. Not the world's, not that person, your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And this is important for us to understand that this is a call, our part. Each and every one of us. We who have found the light need to now rise up. And we need to shine. We need to shine because that light is here. Yes, the world is descending into darkness. And we at times feel the deep darkness. But it's time for us spiritually to arise because the light has come. Let me give you one last joke. How many Presbyterians does it take to change a light bulb? There's many answers to that. But the line for today is change? Presbyterians change? Okay? Not the way we've always done it. You can make it to the sermon page, yeah. Thank you. But this is our time. In the darkness, God has given us light for a reason. It's to support those who make a difference, and it's to be the ones who make a difference. You heard what Vivian said about Presbyterian disaster assistance. We Presbyterians are making a difference in this world. We do so through our giving, through our Presbyterian disaster assistance, that into the dark areas, our love is shining. Samaritan's Purse is another example of that. We support that here at St. Andrew. And they have been in 30 different countries battling the COVID-19 disease. From opening emergency field hospitals to being at the epicenter of the outbreaks, such as Northern Italy, New York City, and the Bahamas, trained medical professionals went to fight off the darkness of this disease. You're called to do that in the individual places of your life. And we're called to support those who do it as well. Remember what it is. It's time to arise. It's time to shine. Our light has come. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to shine. Is it easy? Not necessarily. Will we be supported? Always. Because you promised you will never fail us nor forsake us. You promised that you'll be with us even to the end of this era, to the end of this age. And we thank you for that promise of Jesus. As we went into heaven so he could send his angels and his Holy Spirit to support us, we thank you. We thank you that his light